following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, only about 30 minutes of inspiration, some motivation, some education, and all of it done without any type of manipulation. That means we're not going to con you, we're not going to ask you for money, we're not going to try to sell you anything, we're not going to ask you to join up, fess it up, or give it up. We just ask you to listen up. Listen as I try to do my very best to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If I'm able to do that, and then you could orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. It's your life. You got one shot at it. No redos. So I pray you're listening and pray you'll pay good attention. This morning, I'd like to welcome several new stations to our Flatline broadcast. If you're a regular listener, you might remember that last year, back in December of 2024, we dropped some stations where we had very little listener response. I mean, we have over 100 stations, and we like to keep up with where we're hearing from people. And if we're not hearing from anybody after being in an area for a year, or maybe sometimes as much as 2 years, then we'll change that station and go to another location. So I want to announce to you that we are now expanding again the shows based on why we took a look around and see where it is we can go. So we're going to expand these shows based again while we look for those that are anxious to understand the plan of God for their lives. You know, I'm a fisherman, and I consider this outreach to be a fishing expedition. I'm always casting the truth out and always try to get listeners to wait to see if we get a response or get a bite. Remember, we're not asking you for money. We're not trying to sell anything. What we're looking for is positive volition. Hopefully, what we can teach you will give you a degree of confidence that we are legitimate people if you see we're not trying to con you. If you realize we're not trying to trick you into doing something for our advantage. So sit back and relax and listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. That's my prayer for you today, that you'll be joining our show and that you'll start listening every Sunday and that you'll take advantage of the many materials that we offer through our website, rickhughesministries.org. The show you're listening to today is 1,033. That's 1,033 Sundays we've been on the air all across the United States of America, trying to represent our Lord Jesus Christ and lift up God's Word. So, I want to talk to you today about freedom. This morning, let's talk about freedom. F-R-E-E-D-O-M, freedom. As Americans, we love freedom and we cherish our freedom. Many men and women have given their lives to defend this freedom since this great nation was founded. Many prayers have been offered to God requesting the divine assistance in preserving our freedom. Now, you might not know this, but since our new president got in office, we're paying attention to the military, trying to get it back on track, get it away from the agenda that it's been on the last few years. But the United States Army Special Forces has a prayer that they offer to God. It's a prayer for freedom. I'm going to read you this prayer. And remember, many prayers are being offered to God requesting divine assistance in preserving freedom. So this is the prayer the Special Forces, the United States Army Special Forces, this is the prayer they offer. Almighty God, who art the author of liberty and the champion of the oppressed, hear our prayer. We, the men of the Special Forces, acknowledge and depend upon Thee and the preservation of human freedom. Go with us as we seek to defend the defenseless and to free the enslaved. May we ever remember that our nation, whose oath in God we trust, quote, expects that we shall acquit ourselves with honor, and that we may never bring shame upon our faith, upon our families, or our fellow soldiers. Grant us wisdom from Thy mind and courage from Thy heart, and protection from Thy hand. It is for Thee that we do battle, and for thee belongs the victor's crown. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. I love that. What a phenomenal prayer the special forces have. That's their special private prayer. You know, the Bible talks about freedom in a lot of different areas. Listen to these verses that I give you. This is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. There we go, freedom. Free from the bondage of organized religion, that's one thing. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote back and said, stand fast in that liberty. Christ made you free. You don't have to be under organized religion anymore. You don't have to be following the rituals anymore. There's now grace. It's a wonderful way to have a relationship with God based on grace. It's not based on your baptism. It's not based on your circumcision. It's not based on the adherence to the laws of Moses. Grace is the ultimate expression of freedom in Christ Jesus. Grace is freedom. Freedom from trying to earn your way to heaven. Freedom from worry. A lot of things we'll show you this morning. But remember, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith and freedom go hand in hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself proclaimed grace in knowing him. He said in John 8, 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The question is, what freedom comes from knowing the truth? And what is the truth that Jesus, our Lord, is actually speaking about? In John 14:6, here it is. This is what he's talking about. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. It's now obvious that Christ was referring to himself. And he was saying there's only one way to come to God, and that's through him, Jesus, the anointed Son of God. And that's the grace blessing that God gives you, free, freely, freely. Once any individual believes in Christ and receives him as Savior, there's an amazing thing that happens. John 16:13, the Lord Jesus Christ told them, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, called the Spirit of Truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things that are to come. And so remember this, that the Holy Spirit is your guide through life, taking the Scriptures, the Word of God. This promise gives assurance to you and to me that we never have to be deceived by Satan again, just as Eve was deceived in the garden. We don't have to be deceived. Why? Because John 16:13, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you what's to come. So let me make a few principles here. The first freedom you receive when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior is you are now free from the penalty of sin and death. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is freedom now. Grace is freedom. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. You and I are the guilty ones because we're the sinners, not him. But as a great act of obedience to the Father and his love for others, he took our place on that cross. Romans tells us that in 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because of this act of love, you and I are now given the honor of possessing eternal life. John 3:16, you've heard it before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You are now free if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. You're free from the penalty of sin and death. And this freedom is provided by grace. Grace is not a license to do what you want to do, but rather it's an opportunity to replicate God's love through our behavior with other believers. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brother. There it is. But do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Again, I repeat, the freedom we have been provided by grace is not a license to do what you want to do, but an opportunity to replicate the love of God. So there's another freedom also. And that freedom is given in Christ Jesus, and that's freedom from the control of your sin nature. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit offers you freedom from the slavery to sin nature domination. We see in Ephesians 1:13, in whom after you trusted, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you actually have a choice in your sin nature. You don't have to obey it any longer. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh fights against the Spirit, and the Spirit fights against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This is why you feel like two different people sometimes. Every believer has this battle going on with inside of them. The flesh wants to control your life as it always did before you accepted Christ. But now the Holy Spirit says, I want to control your life. Let me run the show. And so you have to make a volitional decision. Are you going to say no to sin and yes to the Holy Spirit? Prior to your salvation, you didn't have a choice. You were under sin nature control 24/7. That does not mean you never did anything good, you never did anything helpful. I'm not saying that. It simply means you could not manufacture enough good deeds to equal God's righteousness. In Romans 3:10, there are none that are righteous, no, not even one. Notice Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and our righteousness acts are like filthy rags to God. So you can try to impress God with not smoking, not drinking, not cussing, not dancing, whatever you want to say. God's not impressed. What he is impressed with is the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to your account. So being free from slavery to the old sin nature is a wonderful thing. And this is how you overcome lifelong flaws in your life that you chose to participate in. Because now that you're a believer, now that the Holy Spirit lives in you, sustains you, and strengthens you, you can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This means you no longer have to commit those sins that used to dominate your life. It means you now have a choice. And when you do fail, when you do mess up, when you do commit that sin that you wish you hadn't have done, you can always use problem-solving device number one, which is rebound, which means to recover from that sin by problem-solving device number one, found in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So staying filled with the Holy Spirit is the key to overcoming the lust of the flesh. And we are actually mandated in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to excessive debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. That's not a request. It's a command. There's another freedom the believer possesses, and that's freedom from worry about our daily needs. Notice Matthew 6:25 through 34, rather long passage I want to read to you, but it gets the point across. You're free from worry. Matthew 6:25, the Lord Jesus Christ said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. If you're sitting around worrying about your life, you're sinning, I promise you. You don't have to do that. If you're a child of God, there's no reason to worry. I'll read on. Worrying about what you're going to eat, worrying about what you're going to drink, worrying about what you're going to wear. The Lord said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than a bird? Can any one of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life? No. So why do you worry, the Bible says, about clothes? Look at the flowers in the field and how they grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. So if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not even much more clothe you? So don't worry. Freedom from worry. What a wonderful thing. Lord Jesus Christ made that clear. Don't worry. Saying, what do we eat? What are we going to drink? Oh, what are we going to wear? You could just hear it. Oh, my goodness. For the pagans run after all these things, the Lord said. But your heavenly Father knows what you need. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So you're free from worry, free from the lake of fire, free from eternal damnation, free from control of your sin nature, free from worry. This promise is a divine provision provided by God himself. And I promise you, I assure you, he will never throw you under the bus. So when you say, what does that mean, throw me under the bus? That's slang for turning his back on you. In Psalm 55:22, the Bible clearly tells us, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. You are considered the righteous. You are, since why are you righteous? Well, you have the righteousness of Christ, and it's been credited to your account. If you take the letter R and put R plus or R minus, maybe that'll help you understand it. As good as you are, as good as you can be, all the good deeds you can do is the letter R with a minus by it, minus righteousness. You cannot manufacture equal righteousness with God. But if you take the letter R and put a plus by it, that's plus righteousness. And that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. That's how you get plus R. Free. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. You don't deserve it. It's free. The gift of eternal life is free. In Isaiah 41:10, so do not be afraid, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wonderful freedom in Christ Jesus. Freedom that we have. So let's recall some of this freedom again from Christ Jesus. One, we're free from eternal damnation in the lake of fire. You're free. That's that. Your penalty has been paid. Christ stepped up to it, and he paid the price for your freedom. He bought your freedom on the cross. Two, you're free from sin nature domination. Never again do you have to submit to the sin nature and let it control your life. Now you actually have a choice. Now you can decide what you want to do. The Bible clearly tells you don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. That means when you use your volition to go negative to God's plan, you're making a terrible mistake. You don't have to live like that. You can let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you through the truth. That's the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, all truth is found in the Scripture. So when you have the Scripture and you have a well-qualified pastor teach it to you, then you don't have to worry about what you're doing, whether it's right or wrong, because it's there. You can see it in the Word. So we could also be free from worry, as I showed you. Free from stress, free from being concerned about the details of life. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drink? Your Heavenly Father promised he would provide all of that for you. And finally, you are given the freedom to choose. You can choose who you wish to follow. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, as he approached the end of his life, he had taken over command from Moses, and he had gone into the Promised Land and led the people into the Promised Land, starting with the Battle of Jericho. And now Joshua is coming up to the end of his life, and this is the challenge that he tells his family. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then you choose, there it is, you choose for yourself this day who you want to serve, whether the gods of your father, whether the god that your father served that were on the other side of the Jordan River, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now dwell. And here it is, listen carefully. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a choice. That's a choice. You know, God would never bully you into serving Him. He's not going to force you to do it. If your eternal destiny is secure, you can go on down the My Way Highway. Just whatever you want to do, go do it. Until your time on earth runs out. I did a message called TOE, T-O-E, Time on Earth. All of us are granted a certain amount of time by the grace of God. So you are accepted. You accepted Christ. I've seen this happen. I've seen people get saved. They got on fire for the Lord for a couple of months, and then they just finally slid back into their old lifestyle. Quit going to church, quit studying their Bible, quit praying, kind of got caught up in the process of life. You can do that. Whatever you want to do, it's your choice. But why? Why on earth would you choose to reject all the divine advantages that God offers you? Are you crazy? The Word of God gives you insight, understanding. The Word of Proverbs 2 talks about this, insight and understanding and discernment. What a protective shield around your life, being able to know if you're making the right decision or the wrong decision. It's no longer flip a coin. It's no longer, oh, I hope I'm doing the right thing. Now you can see it from the Scripture, and God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you to the answer and tell you, this is what you do. You may fall in love. You may want to get married. May be a wonderful person, and you're a Christian, and maybe that person's not. You say, oh, we'll work it out. It's okay. We'll get together. The Bible says, don't marry unbelievers. And then there's your answer right there. Don't do it. You think God's got something against you? You think He wants to keep you from having a good time? He wants to stop you from being in love? No. I mean, God's got something better. The problem is you don't want to wait. You're not willing to wait for the better. You want to get it done now. And that's where you mess up. You're not willing to wait on the Lord. So what is the reason that you neglect your spiritual life? Why do you neglect to serve a risen Savior? Are you just too busy hustling through the day that you cannot stop? You don't have time for God any longer? You don't have time for what God has done for you? Are you a Christian? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Maybe what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Revelation 3 refers to you. Has your spiritual life grown cold? When I accepted Christ, the first night I went to bed, it was an unbelievable, peaceful night. When I got up the next day, it was peaceful. Every day I found out I had to make decisions. I had to learn the Bible. I was given a Bible. I had to read the Bible. I had to learn. First thing I read was the book of John, and I thought, gee, how did God know all of this stuff about me? A year or two into the Christian life, again, those struggles, those choices I had to make. Am I going to do what the Bible says, or am I going to do what I want to do? So many people do what they want to do, or they try to blend them together. I'll do what I want to do and add God and try to give Him the glory while I do what I want to do. Crazy. In Revelation 3:15-16, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. I know your works. I know that you're neither hot and you're not cold. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then, because you're lukewarm, not cold and not hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. That means to vomit you out of His mouth. In Matthew 8:18, we find Jesus boarding a boat in order to cross the Sea of Galilee. Because of a great crowd that followed Him when He went to Peter's home to heal Peter's mother-in-law, it was getting dark late in the evening, and thousands of people were pushing the Lord Jesus Christ. And several followers made excuses. And the Lord says, let's get in the boats and let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's leave this crowd. And several followers made excuses so they would not have to get in the boat with Him. What's your excuse? Why are you not willing to get in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ? He offers you freedom. He offers you a wonderful life. He offers you protection and encouragement and freedom from worry, freedom from sin nature control. All the advantages the Lord Jesus Christ offers you, the Scriptures offer you, and you won't even take time to do it any longer. You don't have time for God in your life anymore. You're too busy running around, too busy doing whatever you want to do on Sunday morning. I pray you're listening. I pray you're paying attention. I gave a message not long ago on a well-qualified pastor and why you must have him. My prayer is that you will find that pastor. You will do whatever it takes to get under his authority and learn the Scriptures on a daily basis so that you can truly be free, free to live life the way God wants you to live it, free to follow God's plan. But it's your choice. You have volition. That's one thing about God. He didn't make you a little robot. He gave you a choice. He gave you freedom. You can do whatever you want to do. Go down the my way, highway, or I will serve you, Father. What's your choice? What's the choice that you're going to make today? Because the freedom is there if you want it. Oh, I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. It's my prayer that I'll be able to come back next week, same time, same place. If you have questions, you can go to our website, rickhughesministries.org. You can always write us from there. You can order the books from there. We'll be glad to do anything we can to give you assistance and help, and even provide you the transcripts of these messages. So thank you for listening. I pray you'll come back next week, same time. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It won't be long, 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and no, none, zilch, no manipulation. Because we're not going to con you, we're not going to ask you for money, we're not trying to sell you something, we're not trying to get you to join anything. It's simply a show about the Bible, God's Word, me teaching that to you, trying to get you to orient and adjust to the plan of God for your life. If you can do that, then that would be fantastic. My job is to verify and identify that plan, and so my prayer is you're listening and that you will make the decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we welcome many new listeners who may be tuning in for the first time. Recently we added new stations to our Flatline broadcast, cities like Sarasota, Florida, Albany, Georgia, Maui, Hawaii, Marion, Illinois, Greenville, Mississippi, and Beckley, West Virginia, just to name a very few. If you like the information you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, you don't have to wait until next Sunday broadcast because we post all our shows on our website. That's rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org. If you go to the site and click on the Flotline, F-L-O-T, you will find a link to all of our past shows. You can also check out all of our podcasts found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other several podcast venues. Just go to the podcast site, search for the Flotline, and you'll find all the shows, as well as a transcript for each of the shows that we teach. You may notice something different. We don't sell books. We don't request money, because I believe if God's in it, God will pay for it. And so our financial needs are always His responsibility. My objective is to find those of you that are hungry for spiritual information, information that will assist you in your Christian life, or perhaps even meet the needs of those of you who would like to become members of God's royal family by receiving Christ as your Savior. You may find the information I'm giving you does not agree with what you're hearing in your local church. If that's so, go to your pastor with your questions. I'm sure he'll be able to answer any questions you have for you. If you don't attend church, feel free to write to us here via our website, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. That's rickhughesministries.org, okay? Now today, I want to talk about courage and commitment. Courage and commitment. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul wrote some words to the church at Corinth saying this, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love." Many believers that I talk to don't really recognize the seriousness of the situation. In this particular passage, the Apostle Paul is wrapping up his first letter to the church at Corinth, and he finds it necessary here to issue a challenge to the believers in Corinth due to the opposition of the devil, a.k.a. Satan, the master deceiver. This is actually the second time he issues a challenge to stand fast in these closing remarks. Remember the words, stand fast. The first challenge was in 1 Corinthians 15:58, where he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Prepositional phrase, in the Lord. So let's notice the key words to be used to challenge the readers that read that letter that he wrote to them. The first key word was watch. Watch is an English word. We're familiar with it. Like, what, do you have a watch on your wrist? No. Look outside and watch the weather. Okay, now we're getting closer. Watch is a Greek word called gregoreo. Gregoreo. That's the Greek word when we translate it, watch, in English. But that verb is a verb of command. Not a request, it's an apostle's order, present, active, imperative, in the morphology of that particular verb. The present tense means there never is a time that the believer is not to watch. The active voice says you do the action, you create the action. The imperative mood in that verb is the mood of command. It's a command, watch. I remember being in high school trying to diagram sentences in English class and flunking every time. And here I am giving morphology of Greek words. That just shows you what God can do when a person gets saved, when the Holy Spirit controls his life, when he has a great pastor that can teach him something. I wasn't dumb. I just wasn't interested at that time. Now I'm interested. I hope you are too. Gregoreo, the verb of command, present active imperative. Wake up. Pay attention. It's the concept of standing guard or being vigilant. Now, what should you and I be watching for? That's a good question. In Matthew 24, our Lord tells the disciples to be watching for his return after the tribulation. I'll read it to you, Matthew 24:29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." In Matthew 24:42, "Watch therefore," there's our word watch again, "for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." I'm sure very few of us consider today may actually be the day that the Lord Jesus Christ would return to gather his church. When you awakened this morning, did you consider this could be the last day you'd ever spend on planet Earth? I know you get excited when you're planning a vacation or a special trip, don't you? You can hardly sleep at night thinking about all that needs to be done before you leave the next morning. It's called anticipation. If you knew the Lord was going to return for his church in the morning, would you be getting prepared? Would you call family members or neighbors and alert them so they could be prepared? Listen to Luke 21:34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. You're not watching, are you? You're not paying attention. Take heed. Don't let your hearts be weighed down with all this other stuff. So not only are we to watch for our Lord's return, but the Scriptures say we're also to watch our personal actions, lest we be overtaken by the enemy. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter warns us, be sober, be vigilant, that means pay attention, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. When you ignore your spiritual life and your responsibilities with your spiritual life, you become vulnerable to the deceptions of Satan. His objective is to shut you down and take you out of the game. And he uses many tactics to do this, but one that gets many is to substitute emotionalism for spiritual growth. Christian worship through emotional appeals has distracted thousands of people from ever reaching spiritual maturity. Oh, we need to remember that it is the Word of God that sustains us in our difficult times, not the words of your favorite hymn. I want to say that again. Listen, we need to remember that it is the Word of God that sustains us in difficult times, not the words of your favorite hymn. Why would I say that? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is the source of your spiritual strength. That's why the Scriptures instruct us to do what? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to grow your faith. You have to learn the Word of God, and you have to have that backup information stored in the compartments of your soul, the mentality of your frame of reference, so you can use it when you need it. Another word found in this passage that we looked at in 2 Corinthians 16:13 was stand fast. We had watch, first of all, watch, and then we have the word stand fast. This is the Greek word stekeo. Or stako, we might say stako. That's more correctly pronounced, stako. And it's another present active imperative. And it means this is not a request, but another command. Watch, stand fast. Breaking ranks and not standing fast is definitely a sin. So Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Wow, what a strong statement that is. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are now free from the penalty of sin and death, free from the control of the sin nature. We talked about that last week, the freedom that you have now that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he warned, don't get tangled up again with the yoke of bondage, slavery of the sin nature. You see, the grace of God sets you free from the chains of religious legalism. Those Judaizers of Paul's days would move into an area where Paul taught faith alone and Christ alone, and they would insist that new believers come under the bondage of the Mosaic Law, beginning with circumcision and other legalistic demands in order to be worthy of salvation. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, we read these words, therefore, brethren, stand fast. There it is again. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. In other words, whether I was there face to face or whether it's written instructions. Hold on to it. Stand fast. Don't be distracted. Don't be overrun. Don't be defeated. Now let's go back to Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians 16:13. In the form of an admonition, stand fast and how? In the faith. There's a prepositional phrase. In the faith. En ho pistis. That's the Greek word. En ho pistis. Here we must see the distinction between saving faith and living faith. See, you're saved by faith, but living by faith is something different. Living by faith is demonstrated by use of the faith rest drill. That's problem solving device number 3 in the flat line of your soul. Where would I get something like that? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. So when you're told to stand fast in the faith, where's the strength come from? From the scriptures you've learned and stored in the compartments of your mentality, of your soul, so you can pull them out and claim them and use them as problem-solving devices when it's necessary. You have to learn to walk by faith in this life. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. We don't know why some things happen and why some things don't happen. But we believe God's in control. We believe these words. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ controls history. So we walk by faith, not by sight. You may ask exactly, what exactly is faith? Well, listen to what the writer of Hebrews said it is. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, walking by faith is observed by the mental attitude of one simple word, trust. Walking by faith is observed by the mental attitude of trust. Do you trust God? It's simply you having confidence in God's logistical grace provisions. I mean, we could spend many hours studying faith. Some believers are weak in their faith. Romans 14:1 says that. And some believers are growing in their faith. But one thing is absolutely certain. Book it, write it down. God will test your faith. James 1:3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So you have to be tested to grow. That's why we learn, apply, and glorify God. L-A-G, lag. Learn, apply, and glorify God. Our faith has to be tested. And when our faith is tested, if we endure that, we produce patience. Patience. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to have as a Christian, to be patient and wait on the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 16:3, quiet you like men, be strong, he said. Be strong like a man. That's our passage we were studying there that he wrote. Be strong like a man. Finally, in this passage in 1 Corinthians 16:3, we find those words, andridzomai, andridzomai. And then we add the word pros, we add one word, krateo, krateo. And this means like a man. Like a man, be strong. This is certainly a challenge to the male believers in the congregation. They are to act like men, not babies. That's something that's so pitiful to see. Born again Christian, adult, act like babies. Act like a man. Stand fast. Watch. Keep your eyes sharp. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Shield to shield. Watching over your neighbor. Watching over other believers. Having that faith. Standing, encouraging them and praying with them. Stand fast. Because our enemy goes around like a roaring lion looking for the weakest one he can devour. These people that Paul wrote to are never to be intimidated by any people or any set of circumstances. They are to what? Stand fast in the faith. Be like men. Be strong. The challenge is for every believer to grow up and don't act like a baby. What I mean by that? I mean somebody who needs constant attention. The spiritual life requires growth. You got to grow as a Christian. Once we get saved, I remember when I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. Nothing. Thank goodness I got in a good church and got a great pastor that started teaching me something. And I started learning a little bit at a time. But we have to grow up. We have to grow through spiritual self-esteem. My pastor taught me these words. I want to give you his words. The spiritual life requires spiritual self-esteem. This is where you develop self-confidence, and it's based on the scripture. The scriptures you learn and apply in the thinking of your own soul. Your spiritual life was never designed to depend upon counseling. Now, I get people call me all the time, want me to counsel them. I don't do counseling. Spiritual life was never designed to depend on counseling. Never designed to depend on advice from other individuals. Or in any way to use someone else as some sort of crutch for your spiritual life. As a member of the royal family of God, your perception and your metabolization and your application of the scriptures determines your ability to deal with every stress, every problem, every adversity, every area of prosperity or adversity, doesn't make any difference. And to handle these things without leaning on anybody except the Word of God in your soul. That's where we have to get the mature believers. Spiritually self-sustaining. Spiritual growth leads to spiritual autonomy. And this is a wonderful thing. It's characterized by contentment. That's that word patience again. We're content. It's you sharing the happiness of God, which means that circumstances that come into your life do not dictate whether you'll be happy or not. Circumstances do not dictate happiness for you. This contentment is a form of mental stability. Mental stability is the ability to think Bible doctrine of the Word of God or Scriptures under pressure. That requires courage on your heart, on your behalf. So the final stage of spiritual growth now is where we recognize spiritually mature believers. So I back up a little bit. We had spiritual what? Spiritual autonomy, spiritual self-esteem, the first one, spiritual autonomy, the second one. And now spiritual maturity. This is where we are known to be mature believers. This is where we glorify God to the maximum. And this is also a very tough time in your life because you will undergo evidence testing, which is cross-examination, by the, a.k.a. the devil himself, just like he did Job. I had a friend send me a text this morning and said, I got some health problems. I got the Word of God in my soul to handle it, but I appreciate the extra prayers. He doesn't need me to tell him what to do. He knows what to do. He knows how to use faith rest drill. He knows how to trust the Lord. He knows that this is what we go through when we begin to reach spiritual maturity. We undergo evidence testing like Job did. Therefore, spiritual maturity is the divine objective for you and for me. It's the purpose for all commands of the Scripture related to time. And it's the only way we can ever glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in time while we're here. Spiritual maturity is the basis for all temporal and even eternal rewards and blessings in the future. So lastly, Paul says, be strong. Quiet you like men, and then be strong. Present passive imperative. Notice passive, not active. It's a passive this time. Of the Greek word krataio, krataio. And the passive voice means the subject receives the action of the verb, they don't produce it. The present tense means there is always to be strong. The imperative mood is the mood of command. So, what does this word mean? Krataio. It means to be strengthened or receive power from the noun kratos. That's the root of the word kratos. The fact that this verb is the passive tense indicates it's something you receive, not something you crank out and manufacture. And this is indicative of how we are to be strengthened and protected by means of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Bible clearly tells us these words. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Did you get that? And that's in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. And then in 1 Peter 5:10, but may God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little bit, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There is spiritual testing. That's a mature believer going through evidence testing, where you come to the witness stand and Satan's allowed to cross-examine you, find out exactly what you're made of. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a little bit, that's your testing, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. You know, each one of us has the responsibility of strengthening our own souls by growing spiritually and increasing our faith. And there's only one way to grow your faith, and that's by learning and applying the Scriptures into your life. You don't do that, you're not going to grow. You don't learn the Scriptures, you don't have any faith. All faith is related to the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To the extent that you know the Word of God in your soul, that's how strong your faith is. For example, do you know how many promises are in the Bible that you can claim? Someone once told me there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible that you can claim. We've written a book called Promises and Principles that's for you. It's free. It's one of our many books we offer. And if you'd like to have that book, it's got a lot of those promises there that you can claim under certain situations. It tells you how to, what situation you're in and what promise to claim. But God has given you that for your faith. His word is the powerful energy of your faith. Each of us has the responsibility to strengthen our faith by growing up spiritually. That's the only way we can do it, learn and apply the scriptures. So again, we go back to Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By studying the scriptures and applying what we learn, we demonstrate our faith and grow our faith. Hopefully you've heard me emphasize the need for a well-qualified pastor, haven't you? A well-qualified pastor to teach you the scriptures and explain the meaning so that you can accurately represent Jesus Christ through your life and thoughts. And some of these radio stations we've added this week, a couple of those towns, I'm very familiar with great qualified pastors in those towns. Pastors that are really cranking it out and teaching. Been there a long time. Solid, sound, great men of God. If you don't have a pastor and you live in one of these towns, you let me know. We'll try to hook you up. We'll try to tell you where you can get the information face-to-face or over the Internet or in printed form, whatever. But I'm not a pastor. I've always told you that. I'm an evangelist. My job is to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to give you some basic information, and encourage you to get under a well-qualified pastor. There are a few out there that I know of. If you don't have one, get in touch with me. We'll try to point you in the right direction. But my prayer is that you'll continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're a new listener to our show, that you'll go to the website, rickhughesministries.org, and listen to some of the shows there. Just go to the website, type in on your internet, rickhughesministries.org. And then when you see the word Flatline, click on that. You'll find hundreds of radio shows categorized as play. All you got to do is click on them, and they'll play, and you can listen to them going back for years and years ago. And our podcast. We got almost 2 million downloads now through the podcast. So if you'd like to go to Spotify, if you'd like to go to Apple iPod, and type in The Flatline, you'll find the radio shows there that you can listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, driving, sitting at home, wherever you might be. Okay? Boy, what a great time to be in. What a wonderful opportunity God's given me to come speak to you, to give me this opportunity to share this information with you. The main thing I want you to know is that, are you saved? Do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you confident of that fact? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you haven't, regardless of what you may do or try to do, you're never going to get in heaven. Because the Bible says what? He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Christ died for us. He took our place. We know the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was a simple thing for me to do, just to bow down on my knees one night and when I was 22 years old and say, Father, I'm a sinner. I know it. I recognize it. I'd like to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Something like that. I don't remember all the words exactly, but it happened. And I didn't see an angel. I didn't hear a harp. I didn't hear any music. No dust floated out of the ceiling. But it happened. My life changed the moment Christ came to live in me. And he will come to live in you also. He will if you will receive him as your Savior. So think about that. Do you know that you're going to heaven today? Are you confident? Can you know it? Well, sure. 1 John 5 says, these things are written so that we might know that we have eternal life. He that has a son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll make that decision. And I hope if you are a believer, you've been challenged by what I've read to you today, what Paul wrote in Corinth, to watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. That's the key to it. Personal love for God is your motivational virtue in life. If you love me, you'll obey me. 1 John says that. If you love me, you will obey me, and my mandates are not grievous. So that's where it starts. Personal love for God, and then impersonal love for the ones who we don't even like. It's possible you can love people you don't even like. How do you do that? You do that based on your character, not theirs. You're loving them based on who you are, not what they are. So think about that. That's what this show is about, teaching you the mechanics to the Christian life. And hopefully directing you to the Lord Jesus.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.